from God the Father and from Jesus, who died and is the firstborn from among the dead. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. His grace, his peace, his mercy are all yours in abundance. So the Reformation, which we're celebrating today, it happened over 500 years ago. So my question today is, was it easier to be a Christian in 1518 or in 2018? Back then, they had almost no Bibles, and they had exactly one option for where to go to church, and that church taught that you had to keep all the rules just right to get to heaven. But in 2018, we have so many things to read that it's hard to find time to read your Bible. And there are so many churches that teach so many different rules about how to get to heaven that nobody knows what quite to believe. So was it easier to be a Christian in 1518 or 2018? I don't know, but when you think about it, it becomes pretty obvious that the devil has been quite active in our world all the time. Right back in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, and in Martin Luther's day in 1518 and today, the devil has always been trying to get us to trust anything besides Jesus. And sometimes it seems like he's having a lot of success. But that's when we need to read Revelation 14. Because in Revelation chapter 14, there's an angel who proclaims, who taught Martin Luther, that though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. So today, we're going to go into Revelation 14 and learn what this angel proclaims that Martin Luther taught so that we can learn what to do with a megaphone and a few other lessons from the Lutheran Reformation. It goes like this. Then I saw another angel flying in midair. He had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." So Jesus showed this to John, his disciple, to teach him. And John wrote it down so that we could learn from it. And right before John saw this angel, he saw a big red dragon fall down onto the earth, and two big beasts come up out of the earth. And so there's three monsters terrifying everyone on the earth. They're running around trying to trick people and destroy them, just like the devil tries to trick us and destroy us. But John also saw a few people who were safe. They had been saved by the blood of a slaughtered lamb, just like we have been saved by the blood of a slaughtered Savior. And then John saw this angel. Then he saw this angel and he learned what to do with a megaphone and a few other lessons. Let's look at a few different lessons, three lessons that we'll learn from this that Martin Luther learned at the Reformation, and they're for us. What to have is first. And then what to do with a megaphone, and finally we'll say what to fear. So the first thing you'll notice about this angel, the number one thing you should know about him is that he had the eternal gospel. The previous chapter in Revelation tells us exactly what that gospel is, that there's a lamb who was killed and his blood can pay for people to get into heaven. That's the good news that this angel has, and that's the good news that's been around forever. It's eternal. If you flip to the first pages of your Bible and you look in Genesis, God tells Adam the good news about Jesus, that he would crush the devil's head. And if this news is eternal going the other way too, going all the way into the future in time. So after the world is done and we're all up in heaven praising God after we've died, we will be talking about the fact that Jesus crushed the devil and Jesus got our way into heaven. This gospel stretches from one end of history to the other, And the angel had it. Martin Luther had it too, but he didn't always. Martin Luther was a preacher, a monk, and a university professor who lived around 1500s in the 16th century. And he was a monk, and when he would go to worship and hear what the priest said, they would say that you needed to do a certain number of good works in order to get to heaven. But then Martin Luther would go to the library and get the Bible, and he would read something like this. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. He would rub elbows with the other religious people in town, and he would hear them saying that if you gave enough money, you could get into heaven more easily. But then he would go to the library and read this in the Bible, that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And so Martin Luther began to think about these things and write about these things, and he got the eternal gospel. God gave him the same gospel that the angel had, that the blood of a lamb can save us. And so he wrote this very famous thing that you might know. Let's all say it together, but if you're in an 8th grade catechism class, no looking, all right? Let's say it together. He wrote this about Jesus. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. God gave this good news to Martin Luther. The angel had it. Martin Luther had it. What about us? When I got to this point in the sermon last service, a little girl in the front row screamed out, "Yes!" Yeah, we do have it. We have this. We know this. The 8th graders in confirmation, the 7th graders are memorizing this, these words right on the screen. And we all know that Jesus and what he's done for us is the number one thing. On Sunday morning, we know that. But it's harder on Monday night and Thursday afternoon and Saturday morning when all sorts of things want to leapfrog Jesus and become most important in our lives. All sorts of things like work and time with family and recreation want to be more important than this eternal gospel. And when stuff like that happens, we need to hear what the angel proclaimed. We need to hear what Martin Luther learned from the Bible, that God has redeemed me, and he bought me with his blood, and that no matter how crazy this world around us gets, that gospel will last forever. And that no matter how many things are crowding your schedule this week, that gospel lasts beyond this week to eternity. And no matter how many things are complicating your mind, this lasts forever. That Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins and secure your place in heaven. We have the eternal gospel, but Reformation Day is a day for us to hold in trembling hands this truth. This amazing truth that somehow by God's grace, by some miracle of Jesus, we have the good news of Jesus. It survived from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It survived Jesus dying on the cross and coming back to life. It survived through the days of Martin Luther, and now we have the eternal gospel. But let's not make today a day to pat ourselves on the back and throw ourselves a party for being Lutheran. Let's not make today a day to badmouth all the churches that teach something other than what the Bible says. No, today is a day for us to think about the future of our church. We have the eternal gospel, but will we in the future? I heard a pastor tell a story recently about the very first digital camera ever invented. Right now, it's sitting in the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C., and it's a clunky-looking thing. It doesn't look like digital cameras that I thought of when I heard the story. It looks like this. And can you guess what company invented the digital camera. So all the way back in 1975, it was Kodak. Now, Kodak is not famous for inventing the digital camera. Kodak is famous for making regular photography with the old school cameras, making that popular through the 1900s. And by, they were so good at doing that old school thing that by 1960, they owned 70% of the market. And they were making $1 billion a year selling cameras and film. And then in 1975, they invented the digital camera. Now, digital photography didn't really become a big deal until 2000. So think about that. 25 years before anyone else, they had the predecessor to every selfie, every Instagram post, every snap. And what do you think they did with it? They put it on a shelf where it collected dust. This year, it's estimated that over 1 trillion images will be captured on digital cameras, and Kodak is not going to see a penny of it. Because they let their mission drift. They got away from their core value. What, see, they thought they were in the film producing business. They thought they were all about the details and the manufacturing of this film, and they forgot what they were really all about, capturing memories. And so in 2012, even though they had everything they needed to succeed in the future, even though they had invented the digital camera, in 2012, Kodak went bankrupt. Now, from our point of view, we can look back and say they really did not value what they had back in 1975. But could it happen to us? We who by some miracle of God have the eternal gospel, could we lose it? Could it happen to us that we begin to think what we are all about at Mount Olive is running an efficient church or providing an excellent education or being really relevant to our community? Could it be that even though we have the eternal gospel that Jesus died to save us from our sins, we would start to define success as having a good funding model and having the right programs in place and having a balanced budget? Could it happen that we who have received this eternal gospel could lose it? Well, my friends, I have great news for you. Just like Kodak in 1975, we have everything we need to succeed in the future. We have everything we need going forward because we have the gospel. We don't need to discover anything new. All we need to do is not set it aside and let it collect dust. We need to value the eternal gospel and implement it in our lives. Valuing the eternal gospel means that every day you and I wake up and remember that we are condemned sinners, but Jesus has bought us with his blood and secured our place in heaven. Implementing it in our lives means that we have been invited by Jesus to join the angel in Revelation 14 and proclaim the good news to every nation, tribe, language, and people. It means that we look around our lives for opportunities to say the gospel. The angel had it, Martin Luther had it, and we have it. Now let's say it. And that actually brings us to the second thing we can learn from the angel in Revelation. The second thing we can learn is what to do with a megaphone. Because the most important thing about this angel is that he has the eternal gospel, just like the most important thing about Mount Olive is that we have the eternal gospel. But number two about this angel is that he has a loud voice. In Greek, it's a megaphone. It means megaphone or loud voice. He has a voice so loud that if he was proclaiming on a map, people from every single nation could hear him. And if he was proclaiming on a timeline, people from one end of history to the other end of history could hear him because he has the eternal gospel. And what does he do with his loud voice? He says the good news. He says that Jesus' blood has secured your place in heaven. Now, Martin Luther did not have a megaphone, not like we know him, right? And I don't even know that he had a particularly loud voice. But 30 years before Martin Luther was born, Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press. And that meant that for the first time in history, you could have a message and mass produce it and then send it out to all sorts of nations so that everyone could read it. Martin Luther had that technology. So what do you think he used it for? He started writing. He was a prolific writer, and all his writing was about Jesus. And he had an amazing mind and an intellect beyond most that we've ever seen in the last 1,000 years. And what did he use his mind to do? Learn about Jesus. And he had amazing musical gifts that he could write beautiful songs, and so we still sing them like A Mighty Fortress because he wrote all about Jesus. And he had a position as a university professor where he taught all about Jesus. Martin Luther used his megaphones to say the good news about Jesus. What about us? What megaphones do you have in your life? Do children just love you? Great. Tell them about Jesus. Do you have a listening ear and a patient attitude? Great. Listen and earn people's trust and then share with them the good news about Jesus. Do you have a winning personality or a lot of Instagram followers or a lot of time on your hands to pray? Awesome. But don't use those things for your own sake and for your own glory. Use them to tell the world about Jesus. Because that's what a megaphone is for. And so this angel in Revelation, he's got the eternal gospel. He's got a loud voice. What's he going to say? You remember the first words he says? He says, "Fear God." Interesting thing to say if you have the eternal gospel, right? Because in English, fear almost always is negative. It almost always means like terror, like you're scared out of your boots. But in this context, when the angel says it, it could be negative like that, or it could be positive. It could be awe-inspiring. So fear generally is the feeling you get when you realize that your fate is in the hands of someone much bigger than you. So you can picture this like on a pirate ship. There's a hero in a movie fighting a bad guy on a pirate ship, and he's all focused on, can he beat the bad guy? Does he have the moves? And then all of a sudden, a sea monster picks up the whole ship. And they both, their eyes get big, and they look, and like, whoa, our fate is in the hands of someone much bigger than we thought. That's what the angel is proclaiming to the whole world. There's these beasts and the dragons running around on the earth, and people are all concerned about their daily lives, and the angel cries out, "Fear God, because your fate is in the hands of someone much bigger than you." Now, is that good news or bad news? But kind of depends on how that big thing feels about you, doesn't it? If you have been running around the world disobeying and shaking your fist at God, then the day of his judgment and his power is scary. But if you know, like I know you know, that Jesus Christ shed his blood to buy you and earn your place in heaven, then this is positive, jaw-dropping, awe-inspiring news that your fate is in the hands of your Savior. Martin Luther had some scary moments like that. One time found himself in 1521 standing in a courtroom with the most powerful man in Europe, Charles V, who is demanding that he take back all the things he had written about Jesus and used on that printing press. And Martin Luther knew that his fate was in the hands of someone much bigger than Charles V. He had written in his explanation to the first commandment, he had written this. Let's say this together too. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so Martin Luther knew that his fate did not depend on what Charles said, and Charles was not worth his fear. So do you know what he said? He said, "I can't take it all back. I can't, because I fear someone much more powerful. And I love someone much more powerful, and my trust is in the God who gave his life to save me. What about us? Friends, when the devil comes to you and pokes his finger in your chest saying, you've gone too far this time, God doesn't forgive that, don't trust him, because your fate is in the hands of someone much bigger than him. And when you are interacting with somebody on this earth who thinks your faith is small or silly, don't fear them, because your fate is in the hands of someone much more powerful than them. And when you get in your own head and you're doing the self-talk thing where you convince yourself you're not worth anything, don't listen to you. Listen to your Savior. Listen to the one who shed his blood so that you could be his child, who has redeemed you, a lost and condemned creature, and purchased your place in heaven with his own blood. Listen to him, because your hands are in the fate of the God who loves you. God taught through this angel three lessons, and Martin Luther learned them well. This Reformation, let's celebrate by having the gospel and clinging to it no matter what. Let's use any megaphones we find to share the good news about Jesus. And let's celebrate by fearing, trusting, and loving the God who gave his life for us. God grant that in all of our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. We'll continue by using the words of the Nicene Creed. They'll be printed on the